This evening, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. We've been looking at the trumpet judgments. This evening, we're going to be looking at the fifth and the sixth trumpet judgments as we see as God is pouring out His wrath upon the earth. Let's read chapter 9 of the book of Revelation. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as to the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as a scorpion of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither the green thing, neither the tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God on their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and all their heads were as the crowns like gold, and their faces as the faces of men. And they had the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And their breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there was stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the king, angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth seal sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. Out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. But these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. And their power was in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by those plagues, yet repented not of their works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts. Let's just bow in prayer. Father, as we come before you, Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand, as we see these very solemn events that you have shown to us through the prophet John's writing of things that are going to be coming. And Lord, help us to understand that your judgment and your wrath is coming upon the wickedness of this world. And Father, help us to have a real burden to warn people that they would be prepared and that you would seal their hearts for eternity by the blood of your Son, Jesus, as they receive Him as Lord and Savior, that they would not have to experience these events that we're looking at tonight. Lord, speak to us through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look at our culture today and look around the world today, you see the ever-increasing influence of the occult and the satanic. If you listen to any modern rock music, you'll definitely see the influence of it. You see the influence of sorcery and drugs throughout the world. It's becoming a real issue. And not only that, if you look at what's happening in our own country, we have states in the United States, for example, Colorado and Washington, which have already legalized marijuana. Washington, D.C., I believe, is legalizing marijuana. Other states have it on the ballot to legalize marijuana. Marijuana is really a gateway drug that opens it up to much more powerful and hard drugs. And the whole purpose in taking drugs is to have a spiritual experience, which is not a God-sent experience, but rather it's a demonic spiritual experience. And we see that one of the things, the judgments that God is going to bring upon the earth, is the allowing of the demons to have their way with men. And one of the things that I want you to see in all of this, God is in control. God is in control, not Satan. And we don't have to fear Satan because he's not the one that is in control, but it's the Lord. Let's take a look at what the fifth angel sounded in this. It says, a star fell from heaven onto the earth. I believe that this star is an angel. You see that the Bible talks about the stars in other verses as being angels. It talks about this star falling from heaven. We are given in the book of Isaiah the fact that Lucifer fell from heaven when he sinned. And we see that later on, we see that he's cast out from heaven. Right now, we know through the book of Job that Satan has access to go before the throne of God. We also know from the writing of Paul that Satan is the accuser of the brethren who comes before the Lord accusing us of our sin, and yet we have an advocate with the Father who is Jesus Christ our Lord who says, no, they're mine, they're covered by my blood, their sin has been forgiven. Well, I believe that Satan here, he's cast out of heaven, and as he's thrown down from heaven, it says that the purpose is that he would open the bottomless pit. Now, we know in the scripture that the talks about the bottomless pit. If you would turn with me to Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. We see that it says, and there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid up at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with crumbs, which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, and being in torment, seeth Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tongue of his fingers into the water and cool my tongue, for I am in tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son of, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And we see here, and we'll just stop right there because I think you get the picture, there is a literal place where men who are unbelievers are assigned awaiting a day of judgment. And here it's referred to as hell, Hades, an area where they're assigned to wait for the day of judgment to come. We also know from the scriptures in 2 Peter that angels have been cast if you turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, it says, For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And so we know that there is a literal hell, if you would, a waiting place where the unbeliever as well as the fallen angels are put to await the Lord. Now we know that not all demons are there, but the Lord has placed some there. And these ones that he's speaking of here in this bottomless pit are referring to some of those demons that have been placed in there awaiting a day of judgment, and some of them were waiting for this day, a day that the Lord was going to release them to bring his wrath, show his wrath upon men by using them. It's very interesting that oftentimes God judges people by giving them the very thing they want. And that's part of his judgment. And if you look at our world today, the world desires to worship Satan. The world desires to worship the devil. The world desires to worship the demonic, as I mentioned at the beginning of the message. And one of the judgments that you're going to see when God pours out his wrath upon the earth is he's going to allow these demons to come, but these demons are going to be coming to persecute men and to cause them harm and pain, not like the world thinks that they can somehow control them. And it says here, and it came out of he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit, and the smoke of the great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. I believe that this is a literal demonic release by God, allowing these demons to come out and to pour out wrath upon the earth. They're given the ability to cause pain to come to men, but there's limitations to how far they can go. And I want you again to understand, this shows us who's ultimately in control, because God only allows them to do a certain amount of destruction. First of all, we see that they are not allowed to destroy any of the plants, the grass, the trees, any of the green things on the earth. So in other words, they're not allowed to destroy the vegetation. Some people think that this could probably be some type of war. Well, if you're going to have a war, you're going to be destroying vegetation. I believe this is a demonic attack and assault because the vegetation isn't harmed. Also, you see that there's limitations to what they can do to men. It says, and to them was given that they should not kill them. In other words, they have the power to cause great pain, to cause suffering, and it's going to be suffering and pain that is unlike anything that man has experienced, because literally they will be attempting to die. They will want to die because of the pain that's inflicted upon them by these demons. But they will not be able to die. As a matter of fact, the scriptures tell us that they want death to come. In other words, they want to even commit suicide, but they can't. The Lord will not allow them to die because they're being inflicted with this pain for a purpose. And part of it is to allow them to have the very thing that they wanted. They want to worship the demonic. Let them have the demonic. And the second thing is to show them the reality of the wickedness of Satan, and that there is a true and a living God, and that this is the demons are not that God. And then he says, and in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Now he gives us an interesting thing. He talks about the shape of these locusts. If you look at what in Joel, it talks about the fact that there are locusts that come in judgment of the nation of Israel. Those were literally physical locusts that came. But these locusts are different because they're coming in a demonic manifestation. And as you look at so much of the literature today where they are showing transhumanism and where it's a combination of men and machine or men and animal and all of these things. And that's a theme in the movies. It's a theme in the literature of today. Again, we see that very thing here. These aren't normal locusts. They have a king. The king's name is Apollyon. or Abaddon, depending on whether you're speaking in Hebrew or Greek. Both words mean the same thing, destruction. He is the king of destruction. Who is the king of destruction? That's Satan. He is the one that comes to destroy. He's always been the one that seeks. He's a liar and deceiver. Jesus called him a murderer. And he is their king. Regular locusts don't have a king. You can read in the book of Proverbs that they don't. They are driven by the wind. These are driven by Apollyon as he leads them. Now, what is their description? Well, you see in the description, they're not literal locusts because he uses the term like and as. Whenever you see like or as, it means in a form of or similar to. He's not speaking that it's to be taken that they are literally this, but they have a form of or a similar to. And as you're looking at this, John is seeing something that is so amazing and something that he hasn't seen, and he's trying to describe it to give us a picture of what this is, what these locusts are like. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses to prepared for battle. So they are like unto horses prepared to battle. People would understand what that would be. If you went back and would have lived during the time that John lived, or during up until we had the modern age of modern machinery, when you prepared a horse for battle, it was armed, it had armor placed upon it, and it was amazing what these horses would do. They would literally charge into battle to their death at the direction of their rider. And you can go and see that these horses were trained to do that. Well, these locusts are like a horse being prepared unto battle. They're going to go and do what they're going to do, and nothing's going to stop them. That's what a horse being prepared for battle would do. It would go. It wasn't afraid of the sounds of the battle. It wasn't afraid of the screams of those that were dying in the battle. It wasn't afraid of the fire that it might be there or anything else, but it would do what it was supposed to do. That's what these locusts are like. A horse being prepared for battle. They're going to go forth and accomplish what God has told them, has prepared them to accomplish. And on their heads, as it were crowns like gold. On their heads were crowns like gold. They have authority. They have authority. The Lord has allowed them certain authority. That authority is to come and cause pain and suffering on men. But that authority only goes so far. As we saw, that authority is limited by God. Then we see also that their faces were like faces of men. And what is a man's face? A man's face is a symbol of intelligence. A man's face is a symbol of what, as we look and see men, they have understanding, they have intelligence, and so these demons have intelligence, and they have an understanding of what they are to do. And then we see not only do they have the face of a man, but we see, as it were, that they have the hair of a woman, and their teeth were as teeth of lions. The Bible talks us about Satan being a lion who's going around seeing whom he can, a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. These demons are like unto having the teeth of a lion, seeking ready to consume those that are before them, and that would be the men of the earth. They want to come in and inflict pain and suffering. At the same time, hair as a woman, I'm not sure exactly what the hair as a woman might be, other than they would appear to be something that they're really not. A woman's hair is that one I was in a studying, I didn't really find that, so let's just move on. And we'll see here that it says here, and they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. In other words, men couldn't harm them. They had a protection that is there. If you went into battle, a breastplate of iron in the time of John would protect you from being destroyed. Men couldn't destroy them. Even though they came and inflicted tremendous pain, there was nothing man could do. They were protected. We have no power against the demonic in and of ourselves. You know, what's amazing today is you have a lot of people, even some people in the church, that think they can play with the demons and have power over and authority over the devil. But we have none. Only God has authority. Only Jesus has authority. When you looked at in the New Testament, remember there were those that went out and they were going to cast the demons out, but they didn't come in the authority and power of Jesus to cast them out. And they came and they heard of the disciples casting out demons, and they came to cast these demons out. And what did the demons do? They beat them up and they left naked and bloodied, as those that were possessed by demons beat them up and cast them out. And they wondered what had happened. And the thing was, they came in their own strength. And you have a lot of people today that think that they can play with the occult and play with the demonic and play with that in their own strength, and we can control them. At the conference, we heard a little bit of when Warren was talking about, but he personally knows Joanna Mickelson. He shared a little bit about her. But she thought she was safe because she was going to have a spirit guide to enlighten her and to open up the other side to her. And so she called her spirit guide Jesus, but it was a different Jesus. It wasn't the Jesus of the Bible. And it was really, she was playing with the occult. And she thought she could control him. And one day, the Lord and the spirit guide, when he appeared to her, and you can read in her book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, the spirit guide appeared to her, and appeared to be so gentle and so beautiful. And she was just drawn to him. But one day, the Lord removed the covering, if you would, that was the appearance of beauty, and allowed her to see what this was. And it was really a demon. And she was terrified because she thought she could control that demon. She thought it wasn't a demon and she was in control. She wasn't in control. She was opening herself up to that demonic control. The world isn't going to be able to control these. You know, you got all these world leaders that think that they've got everything under control, but yet they're not going to do the will of God, or nor are they going to turn to God, but they have no control at all. Well, we see that these demons have a breastplate of iron, and man can't hurt them. They're only stopped by the Lord and prevented from going only so far. And the sound of the wings was as a sound of chariots, of many horses running to battle. And as you look at this, this would be terrifying. As this event would occur, you have these creatures that have this appearance that is unlike anything we've seen, and they're going to be there, and they're going to come. And they have the power to inflict injury. I don't know if you've ever been stung by a scorpion. I haven't. I've been stung by some things, but a scorpion's not one of them. But I understand a scorpion sting is one of the most painful stings there is. A scorpion sting can kill a small child, but in an adult, it won't kill you, but its venom will remain in your system, and the pain will be there for a few days. Well, these demons are going to inflict a sting or inflict pain onto people. It'll be like a scorpion sting, but it won't kill them. It'll just cause them to have great pain. I don't know, the only thing I can think of that would even be close to it might be people who have shingles, and they say that it is so painful that they just cry because of the pain. Well, if you magnify that by 100 or more times, maybe you get a picture of what the sting would be inflicted on people, that they would literally want to die because of the pain that they're under. And I want you to understand, there's only one group of people on the earth at this time who are not going to be inflicted with this. And that is those who have been sealed by God. Well, we know from earlier in the book of Revelation, there are the 144,000 witnesses of the Lord that have gone out, 12,000 from every tribe of the nation of Israel, 12,000 men, who have gone out to preach the gospel right before the wrath of God was coming. We also know that there was the angel of the Lord, which we studied just briefly last Wednesday night, that had gone out and was saying, "Whoa, whoa, whoa," and warned the people of the coming woes of judgment of God upon the earth. And they're going to hear this testimony. We also know from the book of Revelation later on, as we're seeing and looking back to what's going on during this period, that some people come to faith in Christ. We know that because we've already seen that there are those who have been martyred for their faith, who've been martyred at the beginning of the tribulation because they wouldn't take the seal or the mark of the beast. They had to receive Jesus. And we know that others are responding to the message of the Lord. We also know that there's going to be Jewish people that wouldn't have received the mark of the beast because some of them are going to be alive at the end of the tribulation and receive Jesus so as our Lord and Savior. So we know that there's some people that won't experience this judgment and this wrath that's poured out, but literally everyone else in the world is going to, if you can imagine that. It's almost unimaginable. We've seen pockets in the world of suffering and pain, but never everywhere in the world at once. The picture is given here that everywhere in the world you're going to have pain as these demonic hosts come upon them. And then we go on and it says, and they had a king over them, and we talked about him. Now it says, one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Well, if you stop and think, what could be worse than what we've just seen? These unimaginable looking beings that are demons that are sent out of the pit of hell, led by Satan, to come against the people of the world and cause and inflict great pain. What could be worse? Well, it says that there's coming the sixth trumpet. And the sixth trumpet sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying, the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. It's interesting that the Euphrates River is one of the four rivers that is referred to as being where the Garden of Eden was. The Euphrates River is also that. It's located in the Middle East. It's one of the barriers that prevents armies from attacking Europe and Asia from the east. It's a barrier there. And we see that there's four angels that are bound. If you look at Scripture, the only way that you see angels are bound is demonic angels that have been bound by God, and they're only loosed for a season for His purpose, but it's always destruction because they're really fallen angels that have fallen from Satan with Satan when he rebelled against God. Now we know that of the angels in heaven, one third of them, when Satan rebelled, one third of them, it says in Scripture, fell with Lucifer or went with Lucifer. And so we know that there's a number of demons, but we also know that there's two thirds of the angels remained loyal to God and did not rebel against the Lord. But of those, there have been those that were bound. And we read of some of those that Peter speaks of. We also remember that when Jesus cast out the legion of angels, which would have been 6,000 from one man, if you can imagine that, a man possessed by a legion of angels, or demons rather, a legion of demons. When Jesus cast them out, remember they said, "Don't send us before our time. Don't judge us before our time." Don't, and they were very well aware that God had control over them, and He could have condemned them to the bottomless pit, and He could have chained them up at that time. Instead, Jesus cast them from the man, and they left and went into the swine. And remember, the swine all went over the cliff into the Sea of Galilee. And so we see that God has bound angels in the past, and demonic angels, fallen angels. And so these four have been bound by the Lord, but he's loosing them for a purpose. And that purpose is to lead this army. Now, some people believe that this army is a literal army of men. Other Bible teachers would look at it and say, well, this is, again, a demonic invasion. But I want you to know whether it's an army of men or a demonic invasion. Either way, it's being led by demons, and they are possessed by demons, and the motivation is by demons, and the purpose of the demonic, under the inspiration and leadership of Satan, is to destroy men. If you look at Satan, he's a liar and deceiver, the great illusionist, who comes to deceive the world. And he tells people he's giving them something, but he gives them death. He tells them, I've got these beautiful things for you, but really it's poison and it's death. And as he comes, his purpose here now is death. An amazing thing is seen as this army of two, it says here, that this army of 200 million, 200,000, which is two million, literally an unbelievable army is coming. And its purpose is to destroy. And God is going to allow these. The difference that this woe, or that this trumpet is different from the other trumpet, even though they're both releasing demons on the world, this one, God allows death to come. Now, as you read through the text, you see that the death is a third of the remaining population of the earth is going to be destroyed. You know, we've heard the tsunamis when they happened in the Pacific Rim a number of years ago. We had the recent earthquakes in Nepal, and there were, in cases, a few thousand people killed. This is going to be into, if you stop and think, the earth population today, I think, is 7 billion. We also saw that one-fourth of that population is going to die under the fourth seal judgment. So if you have 7 billion, one-fourth of that would be 2.8 billion. And then we know that some more people die, as we see that there are others that are died from the polluted waters when the wormwood, which we studied last week under one of the other trumpet judgments, more people die. So let's say that you've got another 800, you have 2.8 billion that die, and then another couple billion people die, or a billion people or so die. And so you've maybe got 6 billion or 6.5 billion people left. And it says, of them, a third of them are going to die, which means another 2 or 2.5 billion people. So you're going to have over half the earth's population that's going to die because of the judgments of God. And a huge portion of them are going to come now. Well, what do you think the world's response would be? Wouldn't you think that people would say, Lord, help us. Lord, but an amazing thing says here, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands. It reminds you a lot of what happened to Pharaoh in Egypt. All these plagues came against Egypt, which resulted in, first, suffering of the people and the animals and the destruction of the plants. And we saw all of that in the first three trumpets, first four trumpets, rather. Then their death came to Egypt as the firstborn were killed. And yet Pharaoh's heart was just hardened. And he wouldn't repent. And he wouldn't turn. They wouldn't believe. That's going to be the people of the earth that are left. And it says, and they wouldn't repent of the works of their hands. Now listen to the works of their hands, that they should worship devils. You'd think that as they saw the demonic attacking them, that they would not want to worship devils, but they still worship devils. An example of this, and then got to move because we're already a little over. But the thing is, if you look at, I had a guy that was working for me a number of years ago, and he got involved with drugs, and it was meth. It was really bad, and it destroyed him. And he was just thin as a rail. His teeth were rotten. He was jittery. All the symptoms of meth. His brother came to work and wanted a job. And his brother looked normal. And so I offered his brother a job. And I said, but we have pre-drug testing. And because it put it in place because of like his brother who was caught up in drugs. And he said, that's not a problem. But he said, I can't go today because I got another appointment. Can I do it Monday? I said, sure. He went Monday. You know, he failed his drug test. And he failed it for meth. And I was talking to the doctor, and the doctor said, what's amazing is, if he would have stayed off the meth over the weekend, he would have passed the drug test on Monday. But he went and he was involved in meth during the weekend, and he got involved in meth even though he'd seen what it had done to his brother. But that's how Satan gets a hold of people's hearts. And that you can see the results of sin, and yet you still run straight into the sin. They look at the world and they see all of these demonic things happening, and what do? They continue to worship devils. You look at the nations that were the Canaanite nations. They saw the impact on their lives, and yet they worshiped the devils. That's going to be the world. And that's what we see in the world today. And then he goes on and he says, and that these devils were worshipped, what, as idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood? And there you have a summary of what Paul talks about in the book of Romans, where it says that they worship the creature rather than the creator. And then he goes on and he says, not only that, he says, neither they repented of their murders. They're a wicked and rebellious people. And death is with them, and they want death. And that's evident in our world today. Nor their sorceries. And again, sorceries here is not only witchcraft and not only satanic worship, but it's also, the word here is pharmakia, which is dealing with drugs. They would rather have their drugs and their worship of satanic devils than turn and repent, even though all of this judgment was allowed to come upon them by the Lord. Nor their fornications, their sexual sins. As you look at this list, isn't this the list of what's happening in our world today? These very things are permeating our world. And then he goes on and he says, nor of their thefts. Nor of their thefts. All of these things are evident and growing stronger in our culture. I was talking to a man who's very familiar with what's going on behind the scenes in politics, even in Washington. He says, you would not believe the wickedness and the sin that goes on. And people, they're so caught up in it, they don't see anything wrong with it. Well, it's going to have such a hold on people's lives that as this judgment and these woes come upon them, they're not going to turn. Instead, they're going to go deeper into their sin and rebellion against God. Well, it's a sobering day, but the thing is, what we've been called to do is to warn. We've been called to share and to warn and to tell people so that they don't have to experience this. And Jesus can set them free from it so that they don't have to go through this. And they can be caught up with the church as they would become His. May that be our goal, to share the gospel and to share with others the hope that we have in Christ. That we don't have to face these judgments of God and this wrath of God being poured out on the earth for man's sin. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand the message that you have for us tonight, and help us to realize and be sobered by it, and realize that people who do not know you, they will face this if they're alive. And Father, we pray that you would help us to warn, to be a watchman on the wall and warn them that they would turn and flee from their sin and repent of it before the hour is too late. Lord, give us hope that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord to share with others. This we'd ask in His name. Amen.